Well, our text this evening will come from Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And while you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of background about how I got here. It's been 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe 5. Brother Josh was on a Friday, and he was sick and didn't know if he was going to be able to preach that Sunday. And he said Bill was busy, Butch was busy, Chase was busy. He couldn't find anybody, so he called me. And here I'm out on the farm tractor feeding the cows, and he called me and asked me if I could preach a message. I first said no. But, you know, several years ago I had an idea, and I kind of jotted it down, and just as time went by, I'd add a little piece here, I'd add a little piece there. So I said, yeah, I'll need time, a little time to put it together, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Well, that opportunity kind of went past. I told somebody, I said, you know, if it's meant for me to stand up here and speak, I'll stand up here and speak. If it's not meant to be, it'll just go by the wayside, and that'll be all she wrote. But I think Brother Butch conspired to get me up here. But that's all right. You know, the opportunity to be here, I think God had his hand in, so I'm going to bring you the Word of God the best I can, and as you know, I am a lay speaker, not a preacher, so Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this evening. And Heavenly Father, we realize that we're nothing without you, but you are everything to us. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be with me as I bring the Word this evening, that your Spirit would lead me and guide me, that everything that's said and done would bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that your will would be done, and we ask that your Word would accomplish what you've set forth for it to accomplish. These things we ask in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. All right, point number one. And I've only been here for 38, 39 years, and I've heard three-point messages for how long? 39 or 40 years, so I've got a three-point message. But point number one, the design of man. So man was designed in the image of God. It tells us that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God created man in his own image. Now, you have to realize some things about God to know how he created man. One is he's just. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. He makes no mistakes. So when he created man, and I think image here means more, I think it might be better said to maybe to say or use the term likeness. And it's not just a physical image or a physical likeness. I think it has to do more with his total being. He created man. When he created Adam, Adam was perfect. God came down and communed with Adam every day in the Garden of Eden and Eve. So he made God, Adam in his own image, and of course Eve too. So he created them in his own image, which means they had no sin. Adam had no sin. Eve had no sin at this time. They were perfect. God created them. See, God doesn't give things that he doesn't have. He gives things that he does have. So he created them in his own image, in his own likeness. So Adam had the attributes, and of course he didn't have God's power, but he had the attributes of God in as far as being sinless and being just and being perfect and at the time holy. So he was made, man was designed in the image of God. All right, the next thing we know about the design of man is that he has an eternal soul. Just as we read, God breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. Now what does God give? What he has. God's eternal. So therefore, man's soul, when he breathed into man his nostrils and created him a living soul, That soul is eternal. So it will not die. And God is eternal. And like I say, that's why he gives Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to jump around a little bit with a few verses, but I'll try to hold it down some. But Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 40 says, "For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever." That's God speaking. See, I live forever. And in 33, verse 27a, he says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." So see, he's eternal. And so therefore, the soul that he gave man is an eternal soul. And that sets man apart from other beings, or from other life forms, or beings, whatever you want to say. The animals, now he didn't say that he breathed into the nostrils of the animals and they became a living soul. See, animals are different. Plant life is different. All those things are different. Man is set apart because God gave man a living soul. So that sets man apart. I talked about it a little bit. It says that man was sinless, or Adam was sinless. So because God has those just and holy and righteous, Genesis 1:31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Now, God, because he's just, because he's holy, because he's righteous, he doesn't make things that aren't right. He doesn't make things that are sinful. You know, God will not tempt you to sin. He won't tempt. God does not tempt people to sin. It tells us that. So you're sinless because God made us that way, or Adam was. The other thing, the other attribute that man had in his design is free will. God gave man free will. He doesn't force us to worship him. We have to make that, might say, choice. Butch had a good word this morning, decision. You have to make that decision, see, to worship him. So it's not force. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou may eatest freely, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, or in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So that's the free will. He put all those things there, but he gave man the free will to make that decision whether to eat or not to eat of that fruit. So he has free will. Now, we live in a time where churches try to justify the evil deeds of people. And it's a shame. Now, not all churches, of course. There are a lot of churches that still preach the word, us being one of them. But there are churches, and I don't know why I like to use this example a lot, but California's one, got some of them that are probably the worst that there are. But they try to justify their sin by saying, what do they say? They say, "Oh, I'm that way because God made me that way." God did not make us sinners. God made Adam perfect. He made Adam perfect. So you can't justify your sin by saying, "Well, God made me this way." Won't work. It won't work. And that brings us to point number two. Point number two is the downfall of man. So we had the design of man. He was designed and made perfect. But something happened along the way, and that was man's downfall. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, we just ate if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, it's not talking about a physical death there, it's talking about a spiritual death, and it's talking about being separated from God. That's spiritual death. And in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So, sin came by one man. Adam sinned. And you might say, well, you know, what about Eve? You know, where's Eve come? She ate of the apple first, didn't she? Didn't Eve eat first? But sin came by one man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Hopefully I can quit jumping around here a minute after I make another point or two. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So the reason that sin came into the world by Adam was because Eve was deceived. She was tricked. She was duped into taking the bite of that forbidden fruit. She ate of that tree because she was tricked. Adam, on the other hand, wasn't tricked. Adam made a conscious decision. Adam realized that if he didn't eat of that tree, that he and Eve would be separated. They couldn't. Sin separates us from God. It would have done the same thing with Adam and Eve. Sin would have separated Adam and Eve. So sin came by one man. And that one man, when he ate the apple, when he ate the fruit, it doesn't call it enough. So because of Adam making that decision, and because of Adam eating of that fruit, man became inherently sinful after that moment. And that brought, and what that did is that brought upon the world spiritual death. Spiritual death. That brought upon the world spiritual death. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, none are righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23a says, the wages of sin is death. All that is, that's all spiritual separation from God. Spiritual separation from God. So Adam, by that one man's sin, see, he separated us from God the Father. Then Hebrews 9:27 tells us that we're appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Once to die, then the judgment. That once to die, there's the physical death. The judgment after that is where you get the spiritual death. So sin brings forth death. James chapter 1, verse 15. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Bringeth forth death. And then what it speaks about there, and we've talked about it a little bit, and we've mentioned it, is the second death. And we learn about that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. About to read the wrong one. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's a terrible death. Fire and brimstone. Eternal. What we say about the soul? The soul is eternal. It's not like you're going to be there, and in a week, it'll be over. That's forever and ever and ever. You know, like they tell you in math class, well, I don't know how the new math does, but the old math, they said when you put that 0.9999, it goes on forever. It never ends. It never reaches the next number. It just goes on forever. Well, that's the way the eternal death is. It goes on forever. You're forever separated from God. People don't know what that actually is because they've never experienced it. Even people that aren't saved have never experienced being totally separated from God because God is in this world with believers. So they don't know the full effect of what that will be. And that brings us to point number three. The destination of man. The destination of man. So the soul's immortal, so it has to be somewhere forever. There's a destination. It has to be somewhere forever. Of course, you know there are only two options. Option number one is heaven, the preferred option. Option number two is the lake of fire. It tells us that the wages of sin is death. So the lake of fire, if you choose that option, and it's your decision. God gave us free will. It's your decision where your soul will be for eternity. The wages of sin is death, or the payment, or the cost of sin is death. And that's the second death that we're talking about there. So the wages of sin is death. So if you pay, if you decide you're going to pay the price for that sin on your own, where are you going to end up? In the lake of fire. Separated from God forever. Forever. And God doesn't have a choice. God is holy. He's just. He's righteous. So that sin, because He's a righteous judge, if your sin, if you pay that sin price yourself, He has to. It's His nature. He has to send you to the lake of fire. He doesn't have a choice. You have the choice. He doesn't have that choice. So then your other choice is, of course, heaven, the preferred choice. So if you want to go to heaven, that's much better. Heaven means that your soul will be in the presence of God forever. Never separated from Him. Never separated from Him. That can only take place because Jesus paid that price with His blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22b. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22b. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 22b. And almost all things, I'll just read it all. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without Jesus shedding His blood on the cross, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. Heaven wouldn't be an option without the shedding of that blood. And just to tell you a little bit, one more thing about the lake of fire is when Jesus was on the cross, the only time He cried was when? When He was separated from God the Father. You know, all the physical pain that He endured, the beatings, pulling His beard out by the roots, the crown of thorns, bearing His cross, the nails, all those things. And He never said a word. He never opened His mouth. But when He was separated from God the Father, that's the most terrible thing that happened to Him on the cross. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? So if you want to take the option, the lake of fire, that should tell you right there, that's the worst possible thing that could happen. So, but anyway, heaven. So Jesus paid the price with His blood. The second thing that He did is He was made sin. He was made sin. He was sinless. The reason His blood would pay that price is because He was a sinless, perfect sacrifice. He was a sinless lamb, a perfect lamb sent to the slaughter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. He made Him, now listen to that, He made Him to be sin for who? For us, see, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And just as by one man sin entered into the world, by one man. See, by one man, Romans chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, it's through the blood of Christ. Of course, we'll say that probably a little bit more in a minute, but it's through the blood of Christ that he reconciled man to God. So there's your choice. Pay the price on your own. Go to the lake of fire. Accept God's payment, which was the blood of Christ. Accept him as your Savior, and you will spend eternity in heaven with God. And I'm going to close with a, of course, you've heard it before, but I think it's really good. You know, if you're saved, this world is the worst thing that you'll ever encounter. Isn't that something? If you're saved, this world is the worst thing you will ever encounter. If you're lost, this world is the best thing. The best thing you'll ever encounter. So there it is. So, you know that there's only one way to be saved, and that's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. By grace, it's that simple. You're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, not of yourselves, lest of works any man should boast. So, Brother Farron, if you'll come and lead us in a song. Well, not too bad. Of course, they didn't sing a special, but I was threatened that if I look back and Mary was doing this. I better cut it quick.